He turns his eyes back to the ball. He continues to see the target with his mind's eye. He lets his body swing the club. The more confident he is, the better the chance the ball will go there. Most golfers experience confidence only occasionally and only haphazardly. They normally play in a state of barely repressed tension. Their swings and scores reflect it. But now and again, for reasons they do not understand, things fall into place. They hit a couple of good shots, sink a putt or two, and suddenly they feel confident. They begin playing with their eyes, hitting the ball to the target, and they experience golf on an entirely different level. They string pars and birdies together. They glimpse their potential as golfers. I teach all golfers that they are endowed with free will. They can control their thoughts. In fact, they are responsible for their thoughts. They can choose to think confidently. They can take this confidence with them every time they go to the golf course, and they can have it from their first swing to their last. But it takes an honest commitment to develop confidence. I have found that simply stating this premise does not persuade a lot of people. They are not accustomed to thinking the way great golfers think. They can't believe confidence is something they can control and learn. I've found that stories teach more effectively than lectures on theory. So I've assembled some stories about players I have known and worked with. These golfers have two things in common. They love the game, and they all have something to teach you about confidence, about playing with your eyes. Brad Faxon had to learn how to stay in the present and play one shot at a time if he was going to be the best player he could be. The first hole at the Riviera Country Club in Los Angeles presents a lot of choices. It's a great starting hole, a 501-yard par 5. The tee sits 80 feet above the fairway, giving the player a panoramic view of the verdant canyon where the course is situated. For the members, this elevation provides the comfort and assurance that the first shot will at least get up in the air. And it means that even if their first couple of strokes are hit with irons or fairway woods, are the product of stiff muscles, and don't go particularly far, they still have a chance to reach the green in regulation and get started with a par. But to Brad Faxon, standing on that elevated tee at the beginning of the last round of the 1995 PGA Championship, number one looked much more challenging. It was the last opportunity to earn points for the Ryder Cup team, and Brad had been dreaming of playing in the Ryder Cup for a long time. To earn enough points to make the team, Brad had to play not just an excellent round, but a superb one, a round that would vault him past at least a dozen players and into the top five. He faced, in short, one of the great challenges of the game. Could he produce his best golf when he most wanted to produce it? Brad and the thousands of spectators in the canyon below knew that if he were to make the Ryder Cup team, he could hardly afford to start with a comfortable par on hole number one. He wanted to birdie the hole, to eagle it if possible. Doing that would require a long, accurate drive off the tee. Fortunately, Brad had been preparing to hit that drive for a long time. When I first started working with him in the late 1980s, he was a young player with a deft short game and an extraordinary mind. Brad is one of the most enthusiastic, optimistic, and playful human beings I have ever encountered. He loves playing games of all kinds, and he is very creative. But he lacked confidence in his driver. When he mishit a wedge or a putt, as even the best players do, he had no trouble forgetting it and believing that the next shot would go in. But when he sprayed a drive off the tee, he felt as if all the energy had been sucked out of his body. Thereafter, the club felt suspect in his hands. We worked for several years on this problem. To begin with, Brad hit a lot of three woods off tees where his fellow competitors hit drivers, sacrificing distance for the sake of confidence. He worked with a swing instructor to fix some minor flaws in his mechanics. He worked at developing the discipline to savor and remember his good drives, and the patience to wait as his driving improved. Gradually, he became more confident, and in 1992, he broke through to